A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Welcome in, Thursday edition of the Gym Class, about to set sail right here on KGYM. Coming up, we'll let you know how Zach Johnson is doing in the first round of the first of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Also, a little bit of basketball news, some baseball news from last night. John Cranton from Gym Fight Sports in Las Vegas will be joining us as well. So a lot to get to on a Thursday. We'll start it off right after this. And I tell you what, if Mayweather or McGregor can't make it tomorrow, Miguel Cabrera might be able to step in. They're fighting. They're fighting in Detroit. Welcome in the Gym Class. 1600 AM, the historic main gym. 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. KGYM, the family of networks. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer here. For a Thursday, we got a baseball fight in action, and pretty good as far as baseball fights are concerned going on in Motown. Detroit and the Yankees just went at it. Cabrera and Romine started it off, going mano a mano, toe to toe at home plate. Cabrera didn't like the fact that there was a pitch thrown behind him and showed some pretty good boxing form, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I'm not sure what's going to happen with Conor McGregor Saturday night. He's an MMA guy, so I don't know what his background is as far as his boxing prowess is concerned. We'll find out, but tell you what, Cabrera, he had the form down, looked good, landed a couple of punches, and then all heck broke loose in Detroit right now.
Well, here's some analysis on McGregor and Mayweather from John Cranton of Gym Fight Sports in Vegas, and I would imagine that would be our poll question today. We'll ask you about that fight tomorrow. Listen, if the Tigers can't play baseball, they might as well be able to fight, huh?
The Tiger season's been kind of spiraling down the drain here as of late, but I don't know who won the fight. Usually they're like just a bunch of pushing and shoving and like a pillow fight out there, but this one was pretty good. There were some guys charging in from the bullpens to join the fracas in this one. So this was probably about a B plus as far as baseball fights are concerned. So, you know, something to be proud of if you're the Tigers and the Yankees going at it today. Speaking of baseball, last night, in case you missed it, the Los Angeles Dodgers had a rarity last night. Not only they lost, sorry, John Bonenkamp and others, but their pitcher threw a no-hitter, yet was on the losing end of things. Josh Harrison hit a home run in the 10th inning as Rich Hill was just gliding his way through the innings, and the Dodgers left 11 on throughout the game. So probably should have won the thing for Rich Hill, but gives up one hit, one run, and loses the game in 9-plus innings.
Yeah, no-hitter through 9 innings, and tough way to not only lose a no-hitter but lose a game. But nevertheless, that's what happened to the Dodgers last night. 1-0. You wouldn't believe that out of the Dodgers, but some debate today about whether to leave Rich Hill in or take him out after 9 innings. He'd only thrown 95 pitches through 9 innings.
It wasn't like he had thrown 120 pitches or anything like that. I had no problem with the Dodgers keeping him.
I don't think there's much debate at all.
No, I don't think there is. Obviously felt good. If there was any doubt, they would have pulled him at that point, but the way he was pitching, why not let him go out there and throw a little bit more? And good job by Harrison to come up with the hit to win the game and to break up the no-hitter for
Brilliant
the Pirates.
Pitching on both sides, yeah. You saw the fight, Scott. 35-58 on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. That's jkainvest.com, by the way. At Gallon, Massachusetts, might want to call Jerry Ask today and get some advice. But
there you go.
35-58, what do you think Andrew Romine from the Tigers did? His brother's Austin, the catcher for the Yankees. They just stand back and watch?
I doubt
did
if they
you notice anything in that?
I think Romine was caught up, the Tigers Romine, or no, the Yankees Romine was caught up with Cabrera.
Oh.
So he didn't have time to worry about finding his brother.
What do you do if you're Andrew of the Tigers? Come to the defense of your teammate?
Darn right.
Or come to the defense of your brother?
Teammates.
Isn't blood thicker than
by the time
most anything?
No, not in a baseball fight. And it was a decent fight, but by the time, you know, you sort through it, go out. What would that look like if he went out and started beating up on Yankees because he was next to his brother?
What's a... You're not going to beat up on his brother, is he?
Is Mel Gibson movie? Yeah. I don't know. That is a very good question, though. Very good question. I had not thought of that angle to it.
Kind of stay neutral, really. I would.
Just kind of play Kevin Bacon, Peacemaker. All is well.
Good question, though, on the text line.
Very good question. Very good question. But he was busy with Mr. Cabrera. At that point, who, again, I will say, looked very good.
You're really impressed, aren't you?
In landing the first couple of, of shots there on poor Austin Romine. Now, if it was a different type, when you've got both squads out there, when you got 50 guys out in the middle of the infield, you're probably going to get a pretty hard time in the locker room if you go out and help your brother on the other team. But if it's maybe...
Yeah, Thanksgiving dinner wouldn't be so good if it was the other way around.
Maybe a one-on-one type of situation. That's a tough call. That is a very tough call. But, yeah, the fines in Kangaroo Court would be substantial, I think, for the Yankees' Romine.
Yeah.
If he would have helped Austin Romine in this situation. I like how our listeners think, though.
Interesting dynamic, though.
I like how they think out there. 319-366-1600, the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. And you can go to that anytime. We also have for you open, of course, our phone lines. Same number, 319-366-1600. John Krant will join us. Yeah, we'll ask him about the fight. What Vegas thinks about it coming up. We've got some baseball to discuss. We've got some NFL football. This is the week to pay attention to NFL preseason football. This is the third game, and this is when all the starters are going to play the most. Mm-hmm. So this is when you kind of hold your breath a little bit and make sure nobody gets hurt. Chiefs are going to Seattle, which I don't like this situation, but the Seahawks are good and they're physical, so I hope Chiefs get out of this okay.
Talked about afternoon baseball. There's a handful of games. One final in the books. Arizona has defeated the New York Mets 3-2. Giancarlo Stanton has struck again. His 47th home run. The Miami leads Philadelphia 9-8, top of the ninth inning. Detroit, in that fisticuff game, leads the Yankees 6-5, top seven. Tampa Bay up 1-0, middle of the eighth, against Toronto. Kansas City beating Colorado 2-1, middle of the seventh. Everything else under the lights, including the Twins and Sox, game five of that series. Trying to decide. I know Twins have Barrios. Who's a White Sox have?
I don't remember.
You've turned the page on baseball, haven't you?
Yeah, baseball. I'm thinking football at this point. I can tell you that, though. Let me.
But that's 7 p.m. on 107.5 FM after the Todd Bromekamp show with Alex Kuhn.
And it will be Alex Kuhn and Kyle Mann today.
Indeed.
Derek Holland. With his
left-hander who's gone south, right?
Yeah, darn right he has. 6-13 with an ERA of well over 6. And he started off with a very good start to his season through April and the first part of May. Derek Holland was probably the White Sox best pitcher. Now you know why the Rangers got rid of him. So at any rate, that'll be coming up tonight, and that will be at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM. Golf going on right now. It's the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs here at 12 past the hour at 3 o'clock. And Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson is on the course right now. Brand new venue, new name for this tournament. It was the old Westchester Classic, and then it became the Barclays, and now it's the Northern Trust Open, I believe.
Northern Trust at Glen Oaks Country Club in Old Westbury, New York. Zach Johnson still on the course in his first round. Not a great start for Zach. He is plus two through 13 holes and down at tied for 82nd. At this point, your leader, Russell Henley, at minus six. He has a two-shot lead over Scott Brown, Camilo Villegas, Louis Oosthuizen, and Martin Flores.
So we'll let you know how Zach finishes up. It's a tough golf course, though, from all indications out there.
Yeah, top. There's about 125 players in this tournament. After this, the top 100 in the FedEx standings move on to the next stage, and then it goes down to 70 and then to 30 as the tournaments move along.
Zach would love to at least get to what formerly known as the Western Open when it was at Butler National, not there anymore, obviously, but because they're going back to Conway Farms where he has won before.
Mm-hmm.
So he would love to get a chance to get back there and see if he can do that again. We had some basketball news, some very interesting news today, and it deals with, and I'm not so sure that it's a situation where the Horizon League really misses Valpo that much or they really want that money. If background here, of course, Wichita State was courted by the American Athletic Conference, and Wichita State exited stage right from the Missouri Valley Conference after this past season. Big gap to fill for the Missouri Valley Conference, so immediately they opened up the doors and invited Valparaiso to come in from the Horizon League. Well, the person in this game of musical chairs that was left standing when the music stopped was the Horizon League, and now they have filed a lawsuit. And more coming out of this lawsuit now. It was originally filed back on June the 27th, but it's just starting to come to fruition a little bit more that the Horizon League is suing Valpo and is also suing the Missouri Valley Conference, and that is for $500,000. You're asking, why is it $500,000? Well, that is the agreed-upon conference exit fee from the Horizon League, which, by the way, just to make it even more interesting, Mark, was brought up back in 2012 and proposed by Valpo president Mark Heckler. But Valpo saying they did pay a fee to get out, only $50,000. And Valpo, they used a clause in the Faber Constitution to try to get out of paying $500,000. The president of Valpo specifically suggested a formulation for an amendment to a bylaw calling for withdrawing institution to, among other things, pay liquidated damages in the form of $500,000 if it fails to comply with its obligation to provide the league with at least 1 year's notice of withdrawal. And so they are finding ways to try to get out of this. It's not the money so much. Yeah, they're going to take the $500,000, the Horizon League. It's more the fact that the Horizon League lost one of its star members, I think, more than the $500,000.
Why is the Missouri Valley part of this suit?
Because they were the ones that apparently, according to the Horizon League, I want to get the proper wording here. Let's see. Well, they, of course, I can't find it now. Anyway, induced, there it is. I wanted to get the right word in here.
Coerced, induced?
Induced Valparaiso to join the Missouri Valley Conference. They induced them. So, that's still going on right now, and probably won't have a resolution to this anytime soon, but and the Missouri Valley Conference probably can afford $500,000. It's not that big of a deal, like I said to them. They'll probably end up paying somewhere between the $50,000 and the $500,000.
It smells of an out-of-court settlement.
Exactly. It smells like a settlement is coming down the line, but it's just the Horizon League wants their pound of flesh.
Mm-hmm.
The Missouri Valley not going to get their pound of flesh for losing Creighton and Wichita State over the last 5 years or so. Such is the world that we live in,
yeah,
as far as big-time athletics are concerned. 319-366-1600, that is our number if you'd like to weigh in. One piece of very sad news today, if you are a connoisseur of the sitcom. Jay Thomas has passed away this afternoon at the age of 69. Jay Thomas was on Murphy Brown for about 8 years. Great show with Candace Bergen. Has been on Donovan as of late. And maybe most known as his role on Cheers for many years. About 3 years, as a matter of fact, of the long run that Cheers had. But if you recall, he was Guy Edward LeBlanc, the hockey-playing goalie husband of Carla Tortelli.
I remember Guy. I'm not familiar with this guy beyond that.
Eddie LeBlanc. They called him Eddie, and they asked Carla why. Yeah. Why don't you call him Guy? It's just not cool to be called Guy. Mm-hmm. Don't tell Guy Lafleur that.
No.
But anyway, Jay Thomas passing away from cancer today at the age of 69. So very good comedic actor. Out there. Not a star, kind of a in the shadows type of guy, but was very good as Eddie LeBlanc on Cheers. Before
kind of a journeyman.
Yes, before he was unfortunately run over by a Zamboni in Cheers as a penguin in the ice show. You can't make this stuff up, folks. Check it out on YouTube, Google, whatever. Wherever you can find Cheers. Yes, he was ran. That's how they get. That's how they axed his character. He was ran over at the ice show while portraying a penguin by a Zamboni.
What great writers in that business.
20 past the hour at 3 o'clock here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Going to talk to John Cranton coming up here in just a little bit about football and some baseball as well. I was named their leadership group for this year, Mark. And we can let the folks know about that. Do you have that in front of you? I haven't.
I do indeed. And it's a group that consists of seniors Nathan Budgeta, Josie Jewell, Ben Neiman, wide receiver Matt Vandenberg, Sean Walsh, juniors James Daniels, Parker Hesse, Brandon Snyder, who's on the shelf right now, quarterback Tyler Wiegers, and sophomores Imani Jones, Anthony Nelson, Brady Ross, and Nathan Stanley. So you have two quarterbacks there in the group, redshirt freshman Nick Neiman and running back Torin Young. And then first-year freshman, get this, A.J. Epinesa and Tristan Wirfs. That is your leadership council for 2017 Iowa football.
Yeah, interesting there with the freshmen. There are usually representatives from each class, and there are usually ones that are taking not only leadership roles, but pretty big roles on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And we know A.J. Epinesa is going to be in there. He is going to play. Tristan Wirfs has been banged up a little bit, but he's already up to second team as far as the depth chart is concerned. So I think we're going to see Wirfs in there and burn that red shirt fairly quickly as well.
Interesting. Both quarterbacks are vying for the starting position on that list as well.
Yeah. And is that by accident or... just the quarterback position is a leadership position.
They're apparently two good leaders, Scott.
One would hope that would be the case out there. All right, 3:21. We're going to take a break. Don't forget, sometime during this hour, before 4 o'clock, your chance to win a Dr. Pepper prize pack from Steve and everybody down the hill at Dr. Pepper Snapple. Do appreciate that. 24-pack of regular Dr. Pepper or Diet Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper t-shirts, plus KGYM t-shirt and a pint glass to enjoy your ice-cold Dr. Pepper in. And we will be giving that away coming up during our program. And then during the program with Alex and Kyle today, they are going to have your opportunity to win some wristbands to see Fry Fest on Friday, September the 1st, at the Coralville Marriott down there on the Coralville Landing. Everything Hawkeye will be there. Hawkeye pep rally, panel discussions, autograph sessions, Hawkeye fashion show, plus the big concert that night featuring the Pork Tornadoes and Arch Allies, and then the fireworks afterwards. So tune in at that time, and they will have your chance to win some wristbands to that as well. We'll take a break, come back. John Cranton joins us after this here on KGYM.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier volleyball team got their season off to a terrific start with a 3-0 sweep of Iowa City High on Tuesday night. In the preseason girls volleyball poll, the Saints were rated number one in Class 4A. The Xavier boys golf team finished fifth last Thursday in the Warrior Invitational, hosted by Washington at Amana Colonies Golf Club. The Saints will host a quad meet with Cedar Falls, Jefferson, and Dubuque Senior at St. Andrews on Thursday. And the Xavier football team will open the season this Friday night at Iowa City Regina. The Saints enter at number 3 in Class 3A, while the Regals start the year number 1 in Class 1A. Kickoff is 7:15, and you can hear the game on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, KGYM.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimber Company. Family-owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimber Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Connecting with your family and friends is what La Cantina is all about. This football season, add sizzle to the game. La Cantina would be happy to cater your tailgate. Or reserve La Cantina's party room and watch the action on their big screen while you crunch, sip, and cheer. La Cantina makes every football game a winner. Connect at La Cantina in the Fountains on Edgewood Road, in Marion, and in downtown Cedar Rapids. La Cantina is now accepting applications for positions at all three locations.
Monday through Friday from 3 to 4, the gym class with UNASH and Dukes, KGYM.
Back at 324 on the gym class here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM, North Gym in Cedar Rapids, South Gym in Iowa City. And we will have a Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away before 4 o'clock. Twins and the Sox tonight at 7 o'clock. High school football tomorrow. We start things off with the tailgate tour on 106.3 FM from Regina. As David Schulte, Gary Fickle will be there, talking with coaches and administrators, etc., coming up from 3 until 4. And then we've got football tomorrow night presented by First Federal Credit Union at 7 o'clock on 1600 AM, number 6, Cedar Rapids, Washington, entertaining number 9, Cedar Rapids Prairie in 4A from Kingston Stadium. Myself, John Hegarty, Jeff Moss will be there. And then on 107.5 and 106.3 FM from down at Regina in Iowa City, number 1 in 1A, Iowa City, Regina versus number 3 in 3A, Cedar Rapids. Xavier, non-district dandy down there as well, and Alex Kuhn and Gary Fickle and Todd Warner will be down there with the call of that one. So can't wait. Football, I think we're up. I think we're ready too. Got all the T's crossed and the I's dotted, and I think we're ready to go.
As you always are, I'm ready. I'm going to go to a game this afternoon. Can't wait.
That's right. A little freshman, a little frosh football there.
Yep.
To see out of Kingston Stadium. All right, John Cranton set to join us right now from Las Vegas, Jim Fy Sports, at Jim Fy Sports. That's the Twitter handle. You can check them out online as well at the website, jimfeist.com. And John, good afternoon. How are you?
Afternoon, gentlemen. I'm doing well. I was quite surprised to hear you mention that Jay Thomas thing. That was the first I've heard about it. He was on another series called Love and War, and that was one that I did extra work in when I was living in that area, walking around the bar in the background. So, and he was very personable to the stagehands and the extras. He seemed like a decent guy.
Wait a minute. You were a screen extra, John?
I was in quite a few things in the early 90s. Yep. ER, the first season, there's a scene where they open with an ambulance door smashing open, and these people are pushing a gurney out of the ambulance, and the thing races down the hall. I'm one of the people pushing the gurney, and I did a bunch of other things, mostly lousy movies.
Now we're going to go back and look at all this stuff, John.
Yeah, if you see, you can't miss it. That ER episode, it opens with these ambulances pushing wide open, and it's a close-up of these people grabbing a gurney. And I'm one of them. Can't miss it.
Never got a big break, though, huh?
No, but it was fun hanging around. You know John Viner, the comedian. I was in a Disney movie with him. I got to meet him, and he was a funny guy. Talk to. It was more fun than anything else here.
Oh, well, there you go. We learn something new every day about the life and times of John Cranton. There we go. Well, let's talk some sports here. Let's start things off with some football action coming up tonight. We've got NFL third week preseason. And week three, if you're going to pay attention, this is the week to do so. And a lot of eyes on Mr. Jay Cutler once again. Can he make it two pretty decent games in a row as the Dolphins take on the Philadelphia Eagles?
Well, the Dolphins aren't getting a lot of respect in Vegas because they're a 3.5-point underdog here at Philadelphia with a total of 42. And both these teams have 1-1 records. However, a lot of red flags with the Miami Dolphins. They've given up 51 points. They've been outscored 51-30. none of their five offensive line starters have yet to play together in the preseason, and they kind of looked at last week as they got crushed at home by Baltimore, 31-7. Cutler saw a little bit of time, but what really stood out is they were at home. They've had two home games now, and the defense has played this bad. The ground game was useless, 2.4 yards per carry, 46 total yards rushing. The defense has not been good. They've allowed 113 and 141 rush yards. So with all those red flags, boy, very tough to make a case to back them. Philadelphia at home this game, yeah, they're also 1-1, but they've been much better, 40-29. They've outscored the opposition. If you like Carson Wentz, and I do, and for a second-year player, it's a pretty decent quarterback rotation for August with Wentz, the veteran McGloin, and Dane Evans has played well. And those two guys are playing because Nick Foles isn't, but it's still a pretty deep rotation. So you got Philadelphia at home, short favorite, and keep this in mind, the Eagles – in week three of preseason, the last 7 years, undefeated against the Vegas, number 7-0 against the spread when the starters play more. So I'm going to have to go with pretty much a home team route here. I'll go with Eagles 24-13.
Two teams, 1-1, John, Carolina and Jacksonville. Cam Newton going to make his debut tonight, preseason debut anyway, apparently. What does that do to this game?
Well, I can tell you the bettors have taken a strong stand on it because they opened this one. Pick them with a total of 43, but the money's come in on Carolina Panthers, now up to 1.5-point road favorite, and some good things in their favor. First of all, Cam Newton, haven't seen him yet much in preseason, but he's going to start tonight now. He's had that shoulder surgery, so this will be his first significant action, and you probably won't see a lot of him, even though the starters for the Panthers are going to play into the third quarter. Newton probably won't be one of them. Because in practice, we've heard reports that he's healthy enough to throw, which is why he's playing, but he has been rusty overthrowing some guys. But even beyond him, you get Derek Anderson, a veteran who's pretty good. Joe Webb is mobile, and even Garrett Gilbert. The three of them were pretty good against the Titans last week, 219 yards passing, only two sacks between them, and a touchdown. But what really stood out is the ground attack for the Panthers. Yeah, 167 yards rushing, 7.6 yards per carry, and it's the duo of Artis Payne and the rookie Christian McCaffrey that were just electric. The two of them have over 100 yards rushing, so Carolina's got some balance on offense as well as a decent defense, and they're facing a Jaguar team that, you know, every year I hear people saying, well, this is the year the Jaguars take a step forward. They're accumulating all these high draft picks, they change coaches, so they're going to take a step forward, and yet they always seem to be erratic and never do. And kind of a microcosm of that has been this preseason. Week one, they went up to New England. They looked great, had over 200 yards rushing. They beat the Patriots on the road, and then they come home last week, and they lose to Tampa Bay in a terrible performance, 12-8. That great ground game we saw in week one, non-existent last week, 57 total yards rushing, 2.8 yards per carry. So we have to ask the question again, who are these Panthers? Have they turned a corner? Quarterback rotation, well, not bad for August. Blake Bortles and Chad Henne, along with Brandon Allen. But then you got some injuries, too, to keep in mind. They do have a lot of backfield depth and talent for the running game, but those guys have banged up a lot of them. Leonard Fournette is definitely not going to play tonight. DJ Yeldon, he had a hamstring against the Bucs. He's questionable to play. So a lot of question marks with how the Jaguars are going to perform. It's a team that's just difficult to back because they're so erratic. Keep in mind the Jaguars 3-6, their last nine NFL preseason games. So I'll have to go with a defensive battle here. I'll go with Carolina 20-17.
John, let's shift our attention to tomorrow night as Kansas City will head to Seattle to take on the always tough Seattle Seahawks Friday night up at Quest Field, and should be a good one.
Boy, Alex Smith and Mahomes here, terrific. I mean, Scott, are you excited that you may have a Brady Bledsoe quarterback battle here?
As long as it doesn't tear the locker room apart. That's the only thing I fear in all this. Smith's the quarterback for now.
Well, they certainly looked good last week. Here they are, a road underdog of 3.5 because Seattle is just so dominant up there. But Andy Reid played the starters a little bit more last week. And boy, does he need to see any more. They destroyed the Bengals 30-12. The ground game had 228 yards, almost 7 yards per carry, and that quarterback duo looks fine. Was exceptional last week. So they've got, this team really has it all across the board as far as depth, talent, and a lot of flexibility on offense. So I wonder with Reed, did he see what he saw last week and said, all right, I'm set. I really don't need to risk guys getting injured. They do have a strong defense, and they're going to need it against the Seattle team that, as usual in preseason, they're just they play with the kind of fire and energy that Pete Carroll asked them to bring. Even in August, blew out the Chargers, and then last week against that great Vikings defense, a 20-13 win, very impressive. The weak spot for Seattle the last 2 years has been that offensive line, and they keep making changes and adding some personnel, and you have to wonder if they finally fixed it, because against that great Minnesota run defense, they had 153 yards rushing. So I'm going to have to look at this game as I'm not sure if the Kansas City is going to open it up. They may go conservative, and Seattle with their great defense, both teams really with great defenses and the potential to go on the ground. I have to look at a defensive game because that's what we saw 1 year ago when they met in preseason. Seattle went to Kansas City. They won 17-16, even though the Chiefs led 16-6 in the fourth quarter. The bottom line is that was a pounded out physical defensive game. So I'll look for that again. I'll go with a 17-16 final either way, but don't look for a lot of points.
Peyton Manning paid a visit to Bears camp this week to talk to quarterbacks Mitch Trubisky and Mike Glennon.
Will not be suiting Bears up for the
not
Bears.
Game to suit up, no. But that's the only reason I'm going to watch this game against Tennessee, John.
Well, the bettors are saying it's going to be a close one. Tennessee's just a 3-point favorite with a total of 43, and it's going to be the second straight road game for the rebuilding Bears, and you have to wonder who's going to be their quarterback because the front office seems to be telling you that the Mike Glennon will be the starter, and that's understandable. He's a veteran quarterback, and Mitch Trubisky, how much do you want to play a rookie like that? It's often smarter to rest the guy, let him absorb maybe 8 games or so, or even a full season, which we've seen. And yet, Glennon, in very limited action, hasn't been very good. 2 interceptions already in preseason, and Trubisky has been very good. So that's an interesting thing to worth watching the entire preseason for the Bears. Another thing that's been impressive is the run defense. Last week, they allowed just 40 yards rushing, 2.1 yards per carry. And that's kind of a key because they're facing a run-oriented Tennessee Titans offense. They have struck in these two preseason games for 134 and 136 yards rushing. So that's another good test for the Bears, who were so impressive last week. And then you got Dick LeBeau running the Tennessee defense with his intricate schemes. So let's line all those factors up here for a moment. Mike Glennon has struggled. You get the improved Chicago Bear run defense. You got a run-oriented Tennessee Titan defense. And then Dick LeBeau, who's got a lot of defensive talent with Tennessee to work for, and you never know what he's going to throw at you. That means a battle of field goals here tonight. So I'm not going to wager on the side, but I'll go with the 16-13 final battle of field goals, guys.
One more game to talk about and of local interest because all of a sudden C.J. Beathard is in the discussion as far as maybe even being the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, and they take on the Minnesota Vikings with a whole bunch of former Hawkeyes as well.
That's right, yeah. We got Minnesota 4-point favorite with a total of 42, and everything seems to favor Minnesota. Last week, they've been working on building up the depth on the offensive line. So one of the locals, Riley Reiff, did not play, and neither did guard Alex Boone. And yet, the offensive line was sensational. The rookie running back, Dalvin Cook, averaged 5.7 yards per carry. They sprung him for 40 yards. They gave Sam Bradford plenty of protection. He hit a big pass down the sideline to Stephon Diggs. So this team, along with their great defense, they seem to have it all clicking right now. And Mike Zimmer, he's like Pete Carroll. These guys play hard for him in August, 9-2 straight up, 8-3 against the Vegas number. They win these games. And then the team they're playing, the 49ers, long road trip here for them. It's a rebuilding team with the new coaching staff. Don't know who the quarterback's going to be. As you mentioned, you got Beathard and Barkley and Brian Hoyer, so there's a lot of youth there. And in last week's game, boy, that starting offense for the Niners just couldn't move the football at all against the Denver Broncos. And keep in mind, the Broncos didn't even play without 7 normal defensive starters. They got blown out 33-14. So Beathard may see some time and get some action and may even win the starting job. But this San Francisco team's got a long way to go. What a terrible spot for them. I'm surprised that Minnesota is only a 4-point favorite here. This one seems to have 30-6 route written all over it for the home team.
John, I know there's a lot of folks going to be either purchasing or watching the McGregor-Mayweather fight this weekend, and you were telling me earlier that all the public money is coming in on one side.
Yeah, this is a fascinating one. This is building up as kind of superstar status because the other fight, the early one, the Mayweather-Pacquiao, that ended up with $50 million wagered on it, and they're saying that this one might hit $70 million. This might be a record-setting fight for Vegas as far as the money is set. And the line, the money has been fascinating this week because Mayweather opened pretty much a 1 to 10 favorite, minus 950, huge favorite. And you can't find that number anymore because it's now minus 425. So from a 1 to 10 favorite to 1 to 4 where it is right now. And what that means is the number of tickets that are being written, the money's coming in on the underdog here in Conor McGregor. Just to put that in other terms, they're saying 90% of the tickets that they're writing are on McGregor. So you got only 10% being written on Mayweather. And yet, with that said, they have told us the books, 80% of the overall money is on Mayweather. And what that tells you is the general public, the average bettor around the country and in Vegas, they're saying, all right, I'll take a shot with the underdog here. And yet the sharp guys who are much smaller in number, but they lay a larger amount of money, sharp guys are looking at Mayweather in this one. One of the bets they have is how long is the fight going to last? We got 9.5 rounds. And the money's been going on the under because that's up to pretty much minus 175, almost 2-to-1 edge on that it's going to be a shorter fight. So we also had the prediction today where Mayweather came out and said, I guarantee a knockout. So that's really going to add even more intensity and excitement to this. So based on all of the facts and the money, I'm going to have to say this is going to be a KO with Mayweather in the seventh round.
Seven. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I think if McGregor has a shot, he's got to do it really quickly. I mean, come out and just a ball of fire and go right after him because he's got the energy factor, obviously. Younger. That's the way I see it anyway.
Yeah, I can see that. That's going to be taking place right here in Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena that is right between New York and area where the hockey team's going to be opening up soon. So I'm going to be staying away from the Vegas Strip this week.
You'll watch it from a safe distance is what you're saying.
Exactly. I'm not even able to hear it out my window.
John, the Twins and Sox play game 5 in their series tonight. How do you see it?
Well, let's see. You got a red-hot Minnesota team despite the upset loss yesterday, and they're getting the money here. Minnesota minus 170 favorite, very high baseball total of 10. They're looking for an offensive show, but you got the Twins, good young offense all around. They got a winning record on the road. They're, despite the loss yesterday, a 6-2 run overall, 7-3 on the road, and they got one of their star young prizes on the mound here in Barrios, 11-game winner already, terrific strikeout pitcher. He's off a two-hitter against Arizona in 7 innings, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. And the White Sox, hey, they got the nice win last night, a 4-3 victory, and they got Shields to throw a three-hitter over 7th inning. So can they get that again from what has been a largely weak pitching staff? Well, Derek Holland, you know, this guy's been around a while and has had some good years. He's only 30 years old. You have to wonder, is he done now? Because ERA over 6. And when he starts, his teams are 3-15. He's just not getting it done. So I'm going to have to look for the visitors here. But also I'll look at a lower scoring game than this high total, simply because when these teams meet, 10-4-1 under the total, as did last night's game. So I'll go with a 4-3 final again for the home team. Not a lot of runs scored.
Could be in Cincinnati. Most of them probably with the Chicago Cubs. As Mark put it in a text to me yesterday, I don't think the Reds can win an inter-squad game right now. But, hey, that's the way it goes. We root for our local man, Scott Schebler, who hit a home run yesterday. But I really don't see any reason why the Cubs don't polish off the Reds again, especially with a pretty hot Jake Arrieta on the mound.
Yeah, and the Cubs aren't that big a favorite either, minus 165, but everything is going the Cubs' way right now. The offense now up to top 8 in baseball and runs scored and on base percentage. Remember in the first half, that was a concern for them, and the pitching's been there all year. And they got a soft schedule over the next few weeks, too, so it seems to be the Cubs are going to run away with this division, which means, yeah, when you look at the balance that they have, yeah, they are lined up to repeat as champions on a terrific run here on the road of 16-4. Arrieta's got it going. And then the Reds, the worst pitching staff in baseball here in Cincinnati. You just can't do anything, no matter how good your offense is. And our offense is actually pretty good, top 12 in runs and on base percentage. However, pitching isn't there. Mm-hmm. Sal Romano's only 23 years old, losing record, ERA over 5. And when he's at home in this park, which is not an easy park to pitch mm-hmm. in, his record is 1-3 with an ERA of 6.63. The Cubs are on a 41-15 run against the Reds. I don't see how that changes tonight, so I'll go with a 9-3 Cubs route tonight.
In the department of what we learned today, if you missed it earlier, John Cranton, a former television extra.
And movie extra.
Yes. Did you go by a stage name, John, or was it John Cranton?
I went by Mud. How's that for me?
And John will not be on the strip this weekend. We also learned that out there. All right. What else can we learn, John, from JimFeist.com? And also, if you have a free play, I'd love to hear that.
Sure, I'll go with a couple of them. Go with that Kansas City-Seattle game under the total. Go with the Minnesota Vikings, too, in a route. And then tonight's game, yeah, the Cubs should be the play tonight. If you're looking for free information on football, there's articles and videos and podcasts. We do them every day, and you can check it out at JimFeist.com.
On a scale 1 to 10, how crazy is Vegas going to be this weekend, considering the normal big-time heavyweight fight, or just fight, period?
I'm not going to be going to the buffets because there's not going to be a room. And when I heard that they're going to hit about $70 million in wages on this fight, which would be a record, that's going to blow the old record out of the water. So, yeah, it's going to be a mob scene.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think I just hunker down somewhere for most of the weekend. Yeah. John, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. We'll see you then, guys.
John Cranton joining us from Las Vegas, Jim Feist
Sports.
It's
time for some straight talk.
Here on KGYM. I hit the wrong button. How about that, Mark? That doesn't happen very often, but I did it right there. Where were we? John Cranton.
I was looking at Cass of ER.
You're trying to find John in a still shot, aren't you?
That was interesting.
There you go. Breaking news from Ames. We talked yesterday with Paul Clark, and he mentioned the fact that Camilo Tongamoa wasn't there yet. He is now on campus. He has been officially welcomed by Cyclone Football and is there. Probably won't get a lot of reps, if at all, in the UNI game because he's behind. But Tongamoa is there, and he will join the Cyclone Football team right now. So good news for Matt Campbell and ISU. 3:45, we will take a break. And when we come back, we'll let you know who our winner is, because we're going to give away our Dr. Pepper prize pack right now to caller number 6 at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. You get a 24-pack of regular Dr. Pepper or Diet Dr. Pepper, KGYM prizes, some Dr. Pepper swag, a pint glass to enjoy your Dr. Pepper in. Just make sure if you have won over the last 30 days, you do not call in. 319-366-1600. We'll let you know who our winner is coming up.
Where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Your car's in pretty good shape. If it's only 6 or 7 years old, you just commute to work every day and take the occasional road trip. Sometimes you drive around just so your dog can hang his head out the window. Your car doesn't have to be old to accumulate miles. Pennzoil High Mileage is for any vehicle with 75,000 miles or more on it. It's specially formulated to reduce oil consumption and leaks and reduce engine wear. Pennzoil High Mileage, because before you know it, you'll be on the road again. Find Pennzoil at a Walmart near you and make the switch.
It's time for some straight talk. Those big wireless companies love to dangle a low price in front of you.
That's all you see on TV these days, all their so-called great deals.
But then, out of nowhere, they hit you with these activation charges and mystery fees.
That's a line drive right to the family jewel.
There you go, and it's not over. Then they nail you with data overages every month.
Good luck walking those off.
That's why you should just switch to Straight Talk Wireless. They have all the best phones from top brands for a whole lot less every month, and without all the mystery fees and overages.
Okay, but what's the coverage like?
Straight Talk uses the exact same 4G LTE wireless networks that the big guys do.
Sounds like it might be time to switch to Straight Talk.
Best phones, best networks for a whole lot less.
And you don't have to wear a cup.
Unlimited plans start at $45 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Looking back at the glory days while keeping the pulse on the here and now. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. KGYM.
We are back. Paul in Center Point is going to pick up some ice-cold, delicious Dr. Pepper. Thank you, Paul, for calling in, listening to the program here today. And we'll have one more Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away coming up tomorrow on the program. Coming up tomorrow, KJ Pilcher will join us. Apropos, not only because KJ covers high school football and the start of high school football tomorrow, but also it's a big wrestling day tomorrow across the world.
If you're so inclined, 3 o'clock tomorrow morning, Thomas Gilman from the University of Iowa competing in the world championships. And in his weight class, should he advance, the finals, I believe, are at noon Iowa time.
Yeah, one-day extravaganza for that. But we'll talk with KJ about that, the latest as far as wrestling is concerned. He's always got his thumb on the pulse of the wrestling nation out there.
We'll also visit with Mike Knox, who will preview the Cedar Rapids Softball Hall of Fame Day at Ellis Park this weekend.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Another good class going in. Speaking of softball, saw Buzz today. And he also said, 2 weeks. I thought that was very apropos.
Hoping he'd give up the game.
No. Breaking news on that between okay. us coming All later right. on. Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway.
It is indeed. The Iowa visitors' pink locker room getting some traction today. FS1 going to televise the Iowa-Nebraska game. Brought about this. What should be done with the pink locker room at Kinnick Stadium? Keep it. It's unique. Or get rid of it. It's outdated. KGYMRadio.com is where to find it. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Right now, everyone says, keep it. It's a big pink pie.
It's like,
right there.
I have mixed emotions. Anytime a national news organization does a story on Iowa, what do you see?
Pink locker room.
Corn.
Or the corn, yes.
Corn.
Or any event in Iowa.
Agriculture, and we're very proud of our agriculture.
Yes,
here. There's
very
no
much
doubt
so.
About that. But
very much so.
Iowa's more diverse than that, and I should say Kinnick Stadium is more diverse than a pink locker room, so I get tired of seeing it every national broadcast.
There you go.
Thanks, Hayden.
Straight from Mr. Dukes right there. All right. 3:50. We're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to talk a little bit of high school football when we return after this here on KGYM.
If he takes it all the way, you don't have to pay. Here at Siebke Hoyt Jewelers, we're kicking off football season in a huge way. Here's how. You come to Siebke Hoyt Jewelers for our big kickoff sale on Friday, August 25th through Sunday, August 27th. And you save up to 25% on that engagement ring, anniversary band, or that big pair of diamond studs you've always wanted. Plus, there'll be tailgating food and chances to win game tickets. Then, you go home a very happy person. Then you turn on the TV and watch the Iowa versus Wyoming game. And if the home team returns the opening or halftime kickoff for a touchdown, your jewelry is free. Yeah, if he takes it all the way, you don't have to pay. So, you could save up to 25% on your purchase, and there's a chance you may get it free. It's the 6th annual kickoff sale at Siebke Hoyt Jewelers, Friday, August 25th through Sunday, the 27th. We're Siebke Hoyt, where Cedar Rapids gets engaged and loves football.
Is your power tool not working? Does your mower or chainsaw need maintenance? If you're having these issues with your power equipment or just need something tuned up, let the factory-trained technicians at Acme Tools fix the problem for you. We'll assess the issue and give you a free estimate to get it fixed. Mention this ad and we'll take 10% off your service work. For quality service work and parts, visit the Acme Tools Service Department and let us help you do your best work. Acme Tools on Blairs Ferry Road in Cedar Rapids.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics. Even against the toughest opponent, First Federal Credit Union always believes it's possible. That goes for banking, too. We have solutions that are designed to help you succeed. For over 80 years, we have been providing solutions for families in the corridor. From great products to outstanding service, you will discover it is possible with First Federal Credit Union. Visit us at firstfedcu.com. First Federal Credit Union, member NCUA, equal housing lender.
You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the gym class on KGYM.
Back with you at 3:52, almost 3:53 here on the Thursday edition of the show. Don't forget the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming up next. It'll be Alex and Kyle in for the vacationing Todd Brommelkamp coming up today. White Sox and the Twins tonight from Guaranteed Rate, and that will be at 7 o'clock. We'll have it on 107.5 FM. And then, as you heard, thanks to everybody at First Federal Credit Union, that new building is going up over in our neck of the woods over there in the Westdale area. And they are the presenting sponsor for our high school football. We've got a couple of games coming your way tomorrow night. Prairie at Wash on 1600 AM, and it'll be Xavier at Iowa City Regina on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. And then after the game, we will have, for our second straight season, it'll be our high school football scoreboard show, and that's hosted by Jeff Downing of KGYM, and he's joining us here in studio. And you're ready, man, to get the scores fired up, aren't you?
We are. We've been working on this scoreboard and getting a few contacts. So, yeah, fires away tomorrow night right after you're done, about 10 o'clock. We'll go until midnight.
It'll be good. Mm-hmm. It'll be good. Bigger and better than ever, and we had a lot of good feedback on it last year.
Yeah, we hope so. If you hear us or you don't hear a score and you were at one of the games, so be sure and give us a call tomorrow night. Let us know. We'll get the score on as soon as we can.
Yep.
Live radio. It's part of it. You'll know it's live.
Sometimes the fun and sometimes not the fun.
You're on the air. Go. Go. You're on the air.
You can just call our regular phone number at 319-366-1600 tomorrow night if you have a score, and we'll let you know about that. And you have double duty because not only do you come here and help us out with the scoreboard show, among other things, but also you are an official.
I am. I work Friday nights, the first game. I work the JV games around the area. A couple of new rules, in fact, that take place this year. First of all, of course, the new rules they always put in, talking about safety is the main thing that football is trying to do, NFL, high school, college. Blindside block is the big thing this year. In a blindside block, block against an opponent other than the runner who does not see the blocker approaching. So it's one of those blocks where back in the days,
you teakettled somebody.
You got a sticker on your helmet for that block. Well, not anymore. Now you're getting a 15-yard penalty flag is what you get.
What is the signal for that? Is it going to be a
personal
new
foul?
Okay, it is a personal foul. Okay.
There's really no signal for blindside block. It's just a personal foul is what it's going to be. We saw in one of our meetings, we saw a referee in another state put two fists together like he's going to block, and that's what he did. But it's mainly just it's a personal foul, 15-yard penalty. And, it's one of those where it's a safety situation. It's one of those where somebody's trying to chase down a runner, and all of a sudden he just gets lit up by somebody that just goes right into him.
You anticipate that being a tough call?
Well, what we have to watch for is did they – launch into him with the shoulder, then that's an automatic. That's an easy one.
It's kind of the angle the defender takes too,
right? Right. Uh-huh. But keep in mind also, you can have I guess you would call it a legal blindside block if your hands are in front of you. Okay. So if you put your shoulder into him, it's going to be a 15-yard penalty. If that person that makes the block has his hands in front of him, then we got nothing. That's a clean block.
Yep.
All right, very good. What else we got new?
We also have clipping is going to be a penalty no matter where it's at, even in the free blocking zone as well. Clipping has been you could clip inside the free blocking zone right at the line of scrimmage, but that's no longer allowed to. So clipping, no matter where it's at, is a 15-yard
penalty.
Another safety feature. This other one that I think is going to be might be a little difficult, but again, we'll just have to watch it, is the pop-up kick. So on if somebody is behind by 4 points, they need the ball back, and there's 20 seconds left in the game to do an onside kick, they cannot kick the ball directly into the ground so it pops straight up. They can't do that anymore. That's just a 5-yard penalty, re-kick it. We'll just blow it dead. Reason being is it's going to go up high in the air, and guess what? Everybody's looking up at the ball, except maybe that one guy, and he's looking to plow over somebody. And again, take somebody out. So the onside kick is going to have to be a squib. Or if you're good at it, if you can do a kick that just lands in the middle of nobody, and then you can
a little pooch.
A little pooch kick. But the pop-up kick is no longer allowed.
There you go.
It's a 5-yard penalty. Re-kick it.
And as soon as any of those new rules happen, there'll be many people in the crowd wondering why there was a flag.
Yeah.
So we're telling you that what, right now.
What's the call? What is it?
Yeah,
exactly. Sure, Haggerty's taking notes out there.
Yeah, he knows all that stuff. He knows all that stuff. So, all right. Well, tomorrow night after the games, we'll stick around for Jeff and the scores, and that will go tomorrow night. You guys go through 12 midnight usually, correct?
We do. We go up until midnight, and then we'll on our updates, we'll have the scores as well all throughout the night.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Jeff. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. That's going to wrap things up here on this edition of the Gym Class. Tomorrow, KJ Pilcher will join us, and then we'll talk about the Softball Hall of Fame as well. And we'll see you tomorrow at 3.
Can't wait.
All right. Stay tuned. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn next.
This week, tune into the Paul Feinbaum Show as I discuss
the delicious taste of ice cold Dr. Pepper.
Larry Culpepper? Hey, I'm in the middle of a promo.
Sorry, Finey. The fans are craving so much Dr. Pepper, I thought I'd borrow some of your.